Or let's open our Bibles to the book of Matthew, chapter number 6. I know what some of you might be thinking, because I thought it. You know, this is Thanksgiving. Of course, Thanksgiving is not a season. It's not a day. It's not a specific set-aside national day. Thanksgiving is thanks living. Thanksgiving is a way of life for the believer. And I couldn't get away from this series that we've been in. I wanted to preach on something else or thought about it that had to do with Thanksgiving. The Lord reminded me that it's what I am dealing with. The greatest enemy of Thanksgiving is worry. Are you listening? Worry will eat the ingratitude. Worry will fill your heart with ingratitude. Worry will get you so consumed about what you don't have, what you do have, and trying to get more of what you've got, amen, that you can't even be thankful for what you do have. Anyway, I want you to stand in reverence to the Word of God, and let's look, I'm just going to jump into verse 25. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, or nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. And I like this statement, are you not much better than they? If the Creator will take care of creation, how much more will a father take care of children? That's the point being made here. Amen. A bird doesn't have a soul. When it dies, it deteriorates and just ceases. But you are made in the image of God. You are created in the image of God, and you will live as long as God lives. Amen. And God said if he takes care as a creator, takes care of his creatures, how much more will a father take care of his children? Because you are much better. Amen. Jesus didn't die for a bird. He didn't die for a lily. He didn't die for grass. He died for children. He died for sinners that we could be saved. Verse 27, which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow, they toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you? Do you see that? Do y'all see that? He's talking about the grass is very temporal. It's here today, Brother J.R., and then it's gone. It's gone. And the point here is that if God takes care of the temporal, that which is just here and gone, how much more will he take care of the eternal, which you and I are? Amen. Verse 31, therefore take no thought, saying what we shall eat, what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed. For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. And a definition for the word Gentile is the word heathen. It's heathenistic to be materialistic. Did y'all get that? I never said that before. It's heathenistic to be materialistic. Heathens are given to material concerns, material worry. God says that if we're doing that, then we're just like the Gentiles. We're heathens. Make you feel good about yourself yet? God knows this, don't he? Amen. For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for the reading of the Word of God and the liberty to read it. Thank you for the good song service, the good Sunday school hour. Lord, I want to thank you for your presence today. And Lord, we know that you're not here in manifestation, Lord, even as to the degree that you are, because of us. We know it's in spite of us. And we just pray that you will help us today to get our hearts right, get our minds on you. Dear God, help us, Lord, to be to where you can use us, Lord, for your glory. Lord, any time that you've ever touched anybody in Jesus' earthly ministry, Lord, you got the glory. You didn't just leave fingerprints and a changed life, but Lord, you got the glory. And we want you to touch us today with anointing and power so that you'll get the glory and our lives will be changed and the enemy will be defeated. I pray, dear God, you'll bring to my mind everything I need to see and say. Help us to get it, Lord, because I believe we're in perilous days. I believe there's some hard, difficult days ahead for us, dear God, as a country. I believe it's very evident that there's an agenda being that is being worked behind the scenes from the leaders of our country. And dear God, they didn't ask us if it was okay. Lord, they didn't ask you if it was okay. But Lord, we're praying that what the devil means for evil, that you'll turn it around and use it for good. And Lord, we pray that the various things that would come in our country and come against us, dear God, the chaos, the crisis, all of those things, we pray, Lord, it will bring about revival in the church. It will not bring depression. It'll not bring heartlessness and people quitting on God and fizzling out, but that, God, it will drive us to our knees in prayer, and that once again, God, we could feel the breeze of heaven blow and the power of God would flow through us like a river, and that we could see the church mighty in days of affliction. Have your way, I pray, this morning. We'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Thank you so much for standing here this morning. I've been dealing with the subject of why worry out of this passage. I dealt with verse 19, 20, and 21 of chapter 6. I dealt with that worry really is a sphere problem. And then verse number 22 and 23, it is a sight problem. Verse 24, it is a serving problem. As for sure, worry will put another master in your life to compete with the control of God, and you cannot serve two masters. And then verse 25, down through these next several verses, we find that worry is a security or a surety problem. And that is, Jesus addressed it the last part of verse 30, and he said, "O ye of little faith." That's where worry comes in. You have great faith, you'll have little worry. You have great worry because you got little faith. And so he deals with that about security and surety, how that you and I can have assurance that God's going to take care of us as he did the fowls of the air, as he does the lily, and also as he does the grass of the field. And then, but here's where we're at, and I just want to jump right on in on it. Verse number 27, we're finding next in our study, we're finding next that worry is a size problem. Now, this is the thought that God stirred my heart to get me into Matthew chapter 6 initially. This is the verse, Brother Carroll, that God used to catch my eye and my attention in these verses. Worry is a size problem. Look at verse 27. Which of you, by taking thought, here it is, can add one cubit unto his stature. Do you see that? It is a size problem. And I noticed, and I'm going to break these down. I'm really wanting to get done with this if I can today. I don't know about this morning. I'd like to, but I don't know that that's possible. Because these are the last two. It is a size problem. And then we've got one more to go. It is a seeking problem in verse 33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And that's the last two. And those are the bigger ones. Those are as big as any of them, if not more so. But I noted in verse 27 that he deals with a size issue and concerning our flesh. Your stature, Brother Craig, is how big you are. Right? It says here that taking thought, which identifies worry and anxiety, it says taking thought cannot add. It cannot add. That's a big word. Worry does not ever add. Worry takes away. Right? And so it says that it cannot add one cubit under his stature. So we find in verse 27, there is the size of your flesh that is being viewed. And I want to preach on that. But also down in verse number 30, he comes to the close of the verse and he says, O ye of, watch this now, we have another size word coming in, little faith. So we have under the subject, under the thought of worry is a size issue or a size problem. It is the size of your flesh that's a problem. And then there's the size of your faith that is a problem. And so I want to deal with those two things if the Lord will help me. First of all, let's focus in on and say a few things about the size of your flesh. And worry does come from that. Worry is concerned about how big you are. In fact, you don't worry when you're big. You worry when you're insufficient and you're inadequate and you're too little. Your problems are bigger than you. Your giant's bigger than you. Your situation and circumstance is bigger than you. And by worrying, sometimes we think that's going to advance our size and make us big enough to handle it. But worry don't add to your stature. Amen. The size of your flesh is being brought into view in verse 27. Sin, let me say a few things about sin. Sin, God give me this morning, sin is never about the other person. Son, that got a hold of me this morning. Sin is never about another person. Sin in your life, sin in my life is never about somebody else. Sin in my life is always about me. In fact, the very heartbeat of sin is selfishness. Did Eve think about Adam before she partook of the fruit? No. She thought, man, I believe I'd like the taste of that. I'd like what that will do for me. Right? Sin will make you selfish. And selfishness is how big you are. Selfishness is how valuable you are. Selfishness, my friend, it finds its roots in sin. Those two goes together. Anybody that ever gets selfish will also get sinful. Oh, yes. In fact, the middle letter of the word sin is what? I. Oh, number one right here. Hey man, you don't have to tell somebody to take care of themselves. Right. You don't, hey, take care. You don't have to tell nobody to do that. That was born in you in your physical birth to take care of yourself, even no matter who you have to step on. Amen. Or step over. Sin is never, that's good. I'll say it again. Sin is never about others. It's always about yourself. Any time that you open the door for sin in your life, now that's a big subject, remember we pointed that out. Any time you open the door for sin in your life, you're not trying to promote somebody else. And you really are not even trying to please somebody else. You're wanting somebody else to approve of you. Well, I'm going to have to get on with it. But that is so good. That man, I'm telling you, that helped me. Sin is never about others. It's always about yourself. Sin is always about self. Where there's selfishness, there will be sinfulness. Listen to this. Worry is concerned with the size of your flesh, your faults, your fears, and your foes. But faith is concerned about the size of your Father. Amen. When you're worrying, you're not thinking about your Heavenly Father. You're not looking at your Heavenly Father. You don't have His size in focus. But when you're worrying, you've got you in focus, that I'm not big enough for this. This problem is bigger than me. Some of you here today, you can relate to that. In fact, all of you probably can relate to that. This is not a personal problem. This is a human problem right here. This is a Christian problem. This is a church problem right here. That worry, friend, is a size issue. Worrying, listen, the Bible is clear to make it clear. Listen, that worry, taking thought, anxiety cannot add to your stature. Worry don't make you bigger. If anything, worry only makes your problems bigger. Right. Isn't that right? Oh yeah, worry cannot add to your stature. Stature deals with how tall you are, how big you are. Amen. That's right. And if you compare yourself to your problems, you'll never be tall enough. That's right. But my size don't matter. It's not about how tall I stand, how big I am. No. Oh, when I have that in view, I'm selfish. When I have that in view, it's all about me and it don't matter about other people. I want to tell you, when faith is in the driver's seat, I don't see my size. I see my Father's size. Oh, mercy. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness, that's good. Worry cannot make you taller or add to your size. Worry is fueled by your perception of inadequacy and your perception of deficiency. Simply that you're not big enough. How many in here, don't raise your hand or say amen, but I wonder how many here is defeated this morning. You don't have any joy in your heart, though you're saved, because you view your problems as gigantic, but yet you look at yourself as just very small. But I want you to know, and God's wanting us to know, that it is not about how big we are. Worry says, oh yes it is. You're not big enough. That's why you're defeated. No, we're defeated because we're too big. Hey, I'm going to preach right there. You say, this don't have nothing to do with Thanksgiving? Are you kidding me? A worrying heart will never be a worshiping heart. It'll never be a heart of gratitude. Amen, you come to church and you're consumed about how big you are and that your problems are challenging to you and that you're trying to fix it and you're trying to figure it out and you're trying to get more. You're trying to keep what you got. You're trying to worry about what you don't have. And that's bondage. Being consumed about how big you are is bondage. It's defeating. And that's why most churches are dead as 4 o'clock, is because of a lack of spiritual faith that focuses on the Father. We're consumed with how big we are, how tall we stand. And by the way, let me just throw this out there. If you did somehow or another get big enough to confront your problem, Brother Silas, or your situation or your circumstance, and you did fix it, who would get the glory? Strut around like a peacock. Hey, I got through that, yeah. But when you realize how weak and feeble and frail and fickle that you are, and realize how nothing you are, and how that the slightest problem can defeat you and knock you off your feet, amen, and realize that there's victory in the Lord, hallelujah. And then when you come to church and you're wearing a smile in spite of the circumstance, guess who gets the glory, hallelujah. Amen. Boy, I feel something on that. Amen. I want to say it again. Worry is fueled by your perceived inadequacy and deficiency, or that you're not big enough. While faith focuses on the bigness and sufficiency of God, and nothing else matters when you think of that. Worry, listen to this. I already said it, but won't say it again. Worry doesn't make you bigger. If anything, it only makes the object of your worry bigger, which results in making you smaller. So worry really don't help you to be able to deal with your situation. It really makes you smaller. Anything makes you smaller makes your problem bigger. Amen. Do you think size matters? Do you think your size matters? Your spirituality matters, but your size don't matter. Amen. Your victory don't come from your biceps. Your victory comes from your belief, your faith. Amen. Your victory doesn't come from your fighting skills. Well, I'll tell you right now, buddy, I'll tell you, come on. I've never heard a little wimp say that. Have you? The small people, they don't go around bragging about how they, man, I get whipped all the time. Come on, I'll take you on. No. It's that crowd that's bragging is those that are big in themselves. Amen. And God resisteth the proud but giveth grace to the humble. If you want to get big with God, you need to get little in your self-view, in your self-opinion. And I'm not talking about self-depreciation. Amen. I know there's a lot of people in church thinks that that equals humility. That I'm nothing, I'm just dirt, and I ain't fit for nothing, and I'm a... Hey, you better watch it. If you're saved, you're talking about one of God's youngins. Self-depreciation is not humility. Putting yourself down is not humility. Amen. That's right. Amen. Somebody said that humility is not thinking meanly of yourself. No, humility is not thinking of yourself at all. I've seen people be prideful about what they couldn't do. That's because they're all talking about it. That's all they ever talk about. I can't do this. I can't do that. I'm not this. I'm not that. If you're not careful, you'll get built up in what you can't do. Well, listen. Oh, yeah, that's right. Listen to this. This is good. If your size matters, then David would have displayed worry when facing Goliath. Because there certainly was no size comparison there. There was no size similarity there. No. No, David was just a little 16-year-old stripling. As Saul, that was the word Saul used to describe him, stripling. David was so little, he only had one stripe in his pajamas. That's what the Hebrew definition for stripling is. No, I'm just kidding. There was no comparison. In fact, when David ran out there with just a sling and five stones, it insulted Goliath. You know, what is this? He's down there crying, give me a man. Give me a man that we may fight together. And Goliath is talking about somebody, give me somebody that's like me. Give me somebody that's got big muscles. Give me somebody that's got a lot of experience. Give me somebody that can be a competition to me. But then here comes this little shepherd boy running out on the field like he'd got away from his mama. And here he comes running out into the battlefield. And brother, he's coming out there with confidence. Because David knew that it wasn't his size that mattered, but that it was the size of his God that matters. Some of you need to quit talking about how big your valley is, how big your giant is, how big your storm is, and you need to start telling your storm how big your God is. Amen. Amen. Son, I feel that. Amen. Woo! God's trying to help us this morning. Amen. You get caught up with your size, you'll live a defeated life. If your size matters, Adino, one of David's mighty men, would have never faced 800 with a spear. If your size matters, Eliezer would have never stood up against the host of the Philistines that came against him. If your size matters, Shammah would have never defended the pea patch and had victory over the host of the Philistines. If your size mattered, my friend, that Samson would have never killed 1,000 Philistines with the jawbone of an ass. And I know a lot of people's got in their mind that Samson was this big, huge Hercules looking something. I don't believe that. Because, brother J.R., if Samson was 6'5", 7 foot tall and walked around like this because he had so many muscles, nobody would ever question, where's your strength? Because they'd have said, oh yeah, it's on your in your triceps and biceps and pecs and bushels and all that. But I believe that Samson was just a regular, normal human being that was full of the Holy Ghost. Amen. The Bible said that the Spirit of the Lord come upon Samson. The Spirit of God would come upon Samson. That's where his power was. That's what made Samson more than adequate to take care of business. Amen. It's not my stature. It's my spirit. It's the Spirit of God that's in me. I said it the other night and I meant it. I don't believe the devil can defeat a spirit-filled Christian. No more than he can defeat the spirit-filled Christ as he tackled Christ in the wilderness in Matthew 4 that the Bible said clearly was filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen. I'll tell you, when you're full of the Holy Ghost, that is when you're most like Christ. And the devil can't defeat you in that condition. So he starts chiseling away. He starts chipping away. He starts working in your heart and dealing with you to get you out of that status of being spirit-filled. And get you to where you're self-filled. And then he can whip you easily. Isn't that right? Well, amen. I got to get on with it. If size mattered, then the little lad that had the little lunch would have never been used of God in John 6. Because he nor his lunch was even remotely adequate for that task of feeding 5,000, and that was only men. That wasn't counting the women and children. There could have been as many as 15,000 to 20,000 people there that day. And God took what was inadequate and made it adequate. God took what was not enough and made it more than enough. You said, God can't use me. I can't do this. I can't do that. Put yourself in the hands of the Savior like they did that lunch, and Jesus Christ can transform it and break it and bless it and distribute it and use it for His glory. I think some people use their inadequacy as an excuse for inactivity. Oh, yeah. I never said that before either. I believe they use their excuse to excuse their inactivity and their I can't do and I'm not going to do and I'm not going to be involved. You know, even in a church our size, it's usually the same ones that's involved in the Christmas play, Christmas parade, the same ones that's involved in other things. Hey, everybody needs to be involved. Everybody needs to be involved. Right. Our church doesn't consist of one little thing. Right. I'm going to preach this a minute. It wasn't even on my mind, but it's on it now. Our church, listen, y'all must just say amen right here. Our church, friend, is a well-rounded philosophy. Our church, my friend, is not just a this or a that. Our church is all of it. And since some of you may not know what I'm talking about, I will help you with that. Our church life, one, deals with your practical life. How you live outside the four walls of this church is connected to this church. You ought to be a walking, living advertisement of what this church embraces and believes and holds dear. Amen. People that doesn't even know Preacher Rackley, they ought to know what Preacher Rackley preaches by the way you live. Say amen right there. Well, I'm going to get off that. But that's a part of our church. Would you not agree? How many of you look at Preacher Rackley and say, oh, Preacher Rackley, it don't matter how you live. We don't care what you do outside the four walls of this church as long as you come in here and preach on Sunday. Who would say that in here? Nobody. You know why? Because you say, Preacher, it matters how you live. And guess what? The preacher's looking back at you and saying, hey, you know what? It matters how you live. But anyway, listen. Listen. So it deals with your personal life. I mean, it deals with your spiritual life. It deals with your mental life. It deals with your moral life. All of that. But let's bring it on in here, because this is really not supposed to be the message, but it's inserted. God's inserting it. Everybody ought to be involved. Opening Sunday school is a part of our church. Did y'all feel that? It went, Opening Sunday school is a part of our church ministry. Hello? It's getting quiet. That's a part of our ministry here. Amen. You saw it's just a little something. Well, you put a little of this and a little of that. But that's a part of our ministry. But you come into church, open a Sunday school, and half the church is downstairs. Say amen right there. And the reason we allowed that somewhat back a long time ago was that some of our openers in Sunday school would take 15, 20 minutes. And so some of those wanted to go downstairs and go ahead and get their Sunday school hour started. Well, that's not been the case for a long time, right? Opening Sunday school is a part. Sunday school is a part of our whole well-rounded philosophy of ministry, our Sunday school. You say, well, I don't need Sunday school. Well, we're going to let you teach next Sunday and we'll see how much you know. Are you listening? Everybody's getting fidgety. Everybody's getting a little agitated. Preacher, get back on that faith stuff. I'm on it. It's not about your size. It's about your spiritual size that matters. And you know what the whole program of RBT is for? It's to build your faith and to build your spiritual life.
Right, right.
Amen. God help me, Lord. I don't know at the times that I've stood in this pulpit. I'm talking about with a message birthed in my heart from heaven, knowing that it would help people. And to look, and they weren't even here. Or a lot of them wasn't even here. And there's been times, Brother Travis, that I've even told the Lord, Lord, let me preach that on Sunday morning. They won't be here on Wednesday night, but they'll be here Sunday morning, and I know they need this, and I know this will challenge them, and I know this will help them. But if I'd done that, I'd never preach no other time. So I'm just going to throw it out there and preach it, and if you're here, get it. If you're not here, you need to get it somehow. Our Sunday morning worship service is a part of it. Our Sunday night service is a part of our ministry, our whole well-rounded philosophy of ministry. Sunday night, come in on Sunday morning, have a pretty decent number. Come in on Sunday night, don't hardly have none. Come in on Wednesday night and you even have less than that. That ain't good. A good strong church is one that's got as many on Sunday night and Wednesday night as they do on Sunday morning. Brother, everybody's heard of Brother Massengale's church, Pleasant View. In McQuaidie. The other week, me and my brother-in-law went there on Wednesday night. We pulled in the parking lot. I'm fixing to deal with another part of our ministry. Oh, help me, Lord. We pulled in the parking lot on Wednesday night, Brother Fultz. The place was packed. Every car spot was full. In fact, we had to go plumb into the back field to find a place to park. We walk in the sanctuary, there was three people sitting in there. I thought, we're walking down the aisle and I'm thinking, what is the deal with this? I said, there's a 100 cars out there, probably. Where is everybody at? And I asked one of those three that was there, and I said, where's everybody at? And they said, oh, they're in the prayer rooms. The whole church on Wednesday night was in prayer rooms. Girls, boys, men, and women. So we walked into the gym. That's where the men's prayer room was, and there was all the men and boys. There's probably 150 in there. The ladies and the girls was in their prayer room. They were so packed out, they were coming out into the hallway. That's a part of our ministry. That's a part of it. Do you not need to pray? Do you think that would be a waste of time to come 15 minutes early and get in a prayer room on Sunday evening? Anybody under conviction yet? Wednesday night, prayer meeting, prayer service. That's important.
Right.
Amen. Some of you, I don't know how you're getting this, but it don't matter. Wednesday night's a part of it. All the things that we do is a part of it. Supporting missions is a part of it. That's right. Well, hey man, take that for whatever it's worth. But we're trying to equip you. We're trying to equip. That's what Ephesians teaches. We're trying to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. That's the term that Paul uses, for the work of the ministry. Amen. Well, hallelujah. So your flesh size is a part of worry. That's the reason you worry, is because you're not big enough. Well, amen. Number two, the second thing that is talked about here, and we'll try to deal with this and be done. Of course, I don't have a clock, so I'm just on a fresh start, I guess. But not only does it talk about your faith size, or your flesh size, that's a part of worry, but it talks about your faith size in verse 30. Your faith size. Amen? Your faith size is the reason for worry. Or it is the reason for victory. This is the faith. This is the victory. 1 John, was it chapter 5? This is the victory that overcometh the world. Even our faith. Now I know what some people said. Now you look right here now. Jesus is rebuking little faith. Come on now. Let me get my Bible out here and preach to you a minute. Jesus uses this term, little faith, four other times in the book of Matthew. And every time he uses the term little faith, he is never condoning that. He is condemning it. He's rebuking it. O ye of little faith. He's rebuking worry, fear, doubt, and reasoning, and all of that in Matthew with that term little faith. And some people say, well, preacher, God says that if you have faith, it's the grain of mustard seed. And have you ever seen that one of those? I'm talking about it's micro. Jesus is not using the little mustard seed to say this is the kind of faith or the size of faith you need. How would he do that and then rebuke little faith? Does that not make sense? Why rebuke little faith when he's saying right here's what you need, this little micro? No, when he's talking about the grain of mustard seed, he's talking about that seed that is just in its starting form. That seed is in its starting form. It has life in it. It has potential in it. And if you'll sow that faith, if you'll sow that faith, it will grow and develop and become a great tree. God said that's the kind of faith you need to have. Not one that you carry around in your pocket, because it'll never grow. It'll never break out with the life that's in it. He said, you need to sow it and you need to put it to use and you need to put it into practice and watch God germinate that faith and that it would grow. Well, that's right. But he's talking about the size of your faith. It is the reason for worry. It's being rebuked here in this passage of Scripture. But then, he's talking about the fact that your faith needs to be regained or your faith needs to be reassured in this passage. And how he does that is in verse 25, and I've already preached this as far as pointing this out. In verse 25, he talks about, well, you've already got your life. Who gave you your life? Your Father. He said, you've already got your body. Who gave you that? The Lord. And if he can give it to you, he can sustain it. And then he uses the birds and the lilies and the grass all to try to reassure your faith, to regain that little, take little faith and move it in the direction toward great faith. That's right. The size of your flesh is a worry issue. The size of your faith is a worry issue. You're not worrying because you got great faith. You're not even worrying because you got growing faith. You're worrying because your faith is in you. That's what selfishness is your faith is in you. That's right. Fear, did you know fear is really faith? Fear is really faith. It's just not faith in God. It's faith in the devil. It's faith in the flesh. Devil says you're not going to make it. Oh, I know it. Devil says, I've got you this time. Your church is gone. Your family is gone. Your kids are gone. I've got you this time. Oh, I know it. Oh, I know it. You know what you're doing? You're exercising faith in what he says. Fear is faith in Satan. How many believe that? Some of you need to quit listening to what... Hey, let me back that up. We need to quit listening. Amen. You don't have to... Listen, you don't have to go off of guesswork when God's leading you. God don't have to get you depressed to get you to lead you. God doesn't have to get you defeated and down in the dumps and all of that to I guess I might ought to go somewhere else. Or I might ought to do something. No. Discouragement is not leadership. Amen. Are y'all listening to preacher this morning? God help us. Anyway, there is the size of your faith. And anyway, I'm not going to deal with any more. But he's talking about our faith needs to be regained, reassured, regrown by one, looking naturally at our Creator, and two, spiritually by looking at our Father. And we've made some references to that as we read the scripture. And that'll help you. Who is it that's taking care of you? If your answer to that is government, God help you. Order you about a truckload of nerve pills because you're going to need them. Amen. And it's very evident they can't even take care of themselves, and they surely don't seem to care about our country. So I know that little old me hid out down here in Hawkins County has got their concern. You think they didn't care about them poor old Americans that suffered and was brutally massacred in Benghazi? They didn't care about them. Do you think they care about you? You think they care about ISIS? Our president won't even identify them as radical Islamic. He won't even identify it. Wrote in his book, friend, wrote in his book that if our country ever takes a political swing, he will side with Muslims. Amen. I do not mean to get off of that, onto a political thing here, but I'm telling you, it bothers me. And I saw another video this morning. It bothers me of the thousands of them refugees coming in this country. And I know what Obama says. Oh, y'all don't care. You Christians, you don't care about these widows and orphans. Look at that. Look at some of those videos of that bunch coming in here. Show me a widow. Show me a woman. I watched a video this morning, Brother Mike, and there was thousands coming, and every one of them was men. Young, war age men. And them Arab nations, Brother J.R., has got more money than we do. Why didn't they go there? Why didn't they take their own? No, they're here by invitation. They are here for an agenda. You can believe that. You say, you're not preaching now, you're meddling. Well, you better get it. You better get it. Get what you can. Think only what you will. I'm just saying what possible. I hope I'm wrong. I hope I'm 100 miles wrong. I don't put nothing past the commander-in-chief of this country. I don't put nothing past him. Never trust a liar. Never trust somebody that couldn't read the truth out of the Bible. Never trust them. I believe he's got them coming over here to do in America what was done in Paris, cause absolute chaos to where he can usher in martial law and stay in office. And turn this country completely, finish it on out to be a Muslim country. And their heartbeat is to kill the infidels that their Quran teaches them, and that is us, Christians. So I don't believe that. This is the great USA. You better get ready. Perilous days are here, and they're coming. They're going to increase. It's going to get worse. You say, preach, I don't like that. Talk to us positive. I am talking to you positive. Just as a doctor addressing your problem. He addressed what's wrong with you. That's positive. He's trying to help you. God help us. Amen. I hope I'm wrong on that. If you don't agree with that, that's fine. I didn't have a verse for that. I just throwed that out there. I hope I'm wrong. I don't think I'm out too far. In fact, I made that statement, what I just told you, I made that same statement in Boone, North Carolina, Friday night. And there was a man come out, and he shook my hand as he went out the door. And he stopped and talked to me, and he told me who he was. Of course, I didn't know who he was. But he told me where he served, how he was a retired, I believe it was CIA or something. I mean, one of them big officials. And you know, was involved with all the information of what's going on behind the scene and all that stuff. And he just leaned over real quietly and whispered in my ear. He said, "Preacher, I still get all of that information sent to me." And he said, "I want you to know you're accurate on what you said." That didn't puff my head up. That made me tremble to think what might be coming. How's your faith? Listen, worry is a size issue. It's the size of your flesh, how big you are, compared to your problems, compared to what you're wanting to do in life. And worry is a faith size problem. We need our faith increased. And a lot of times our faith gets increased by being tested. And faith that can't be tested can't be trusted. Minister Baffert, word of prayer. Father, I pray in Jesus' name that you'll help us as your people to prepare ourselves for battle, to prepare ourselves to withstand in the evil day. Dear God, that we'd be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Dear Lord, that we will stand, God, when it seems like everybody else are collapsing in their faith, like the three Hebrew children there in the book of Daniel, how they stood when everybody else was bowing down. Lord, I pray you'll help me, Lord, to not quit. Help me, dear Lord, to not retreat. Help me to stand firm, stand true. And I know when we read the reports and we get the newscasts and we see these things happening, and Lord, we see those things, if we're not careful, that will feed our fear, and it will cause us to be controlled by dread and fear and unbelief. Lord, it's not my size that matters. It's your size that matters. And my faith should focus on that. My fear focuses on how big the enemy is, measures the enemy, holds a ruler up to the enemy. My fear, Lord, and my faithlessness, dear God, measures the circumstance. But my faith measures God. And you're always bigger. You're always mightier. Lord, there's some here today, I, Lord, no doubt. Lord, they're living defeated lives because they're trying to get bigger themselves because they think that might be the answer. But that's not the answer. The answer is having our faith increased. Realize that our Heavenly Father is on the job 24/7 and that He's going to care for us more so than He would care for birds and the lilies and the grass of the field, more so than He would care for the beast of the field, more so than He would care for creation. He cares for His children. And Lord, our faith ought to latch a hold of that and embrace that here this morning. But Lord, if there's somebody here, no doubt there are, but if there's somebody here today that's lost, I pray you'll show them that their problem is that they're lost. Their problem is that they've never accepted Jesus as their Savior. And this thing's winding down. This thing's winding down. God, I pray you'd speak to them and deal with them about their soul and their need of getting ready, getting right, getting saved, so that they, when the old ship of Zion pulls out, Lord, they'll be on board. Lord, have your way with every one of us that are here today that are saved. Deal with us, Lord, about our faith. God, we are not in a coasting time, Lord. We are in a conflict time. We are in a time, Lord, that when we don't know from one day to the next what is going to transpire, we have no idea. But dear Lord, we can't focus on that. We're to be ready for that. We're to pray and focus on our spiritual life and get that where it needs to be, to where we're strong in faith and stagger not at the promises of God through unbelief. Pray your will to be done, this invitation in Jesus' name. Heads bowed, eyes closed.
God bless you. Thank you for visiting Rogersville Baptist Temple's website and for listening to this message preached at Rogersville Baptist Temple.